But another show that's on at the Riverside is Brett and Wendy, a love story bound by art. And we have Kim Carpenter on the line to have a chat about this production. Welcome to Stages, Kim.
Hi.
Oh, what a wonderful topic to bring to the stage, and what an interesting topic to show. How are we representing the wonderful Brett Whiteley and Wendy Whiteley on stage?
Right. Well, it really is to do with their life and his work. So it's a story, it's a pretty much a roller coaster ride from childhood through to the present. And Brett Whiteley died in 1992, and he died in his early 50s. And so we travel through about six decades. And in doing that, we reflect the music and the political and social climate of each decade, which was reflected in his work. And so, for instance, in America, he painted the American Dream. And, you know, that was his first disappointment, because although it was an amazing work and he thought he could solve the world's problem by doing this 18-paneled enormous work, and it was rejected by the New York art dealers because it was just too much for them. But it now hangs in the Art Gallery of Western Australia, and it's now known as an iconic Australian piece of art. So we trace his whole life, in a nutshell, really, and the highs and lows and the dynamics of his life and his work, which are pretty much paralleled.
And do you go to the swinging 60s? Do you go through the 60s London sort of era?
We go to London in the early 60s through to 1967, which, and then they fled to New York and lived at the Hotel Chelsea. With Janis Joplin and Jimi Hendrix and many other luminaries.
Yeah. How exciting! And so, where is Wendy been involved in the writing of this, or where did the story kind of ground?
Well,
from?
Wendy, I had an idea. I wanted to do a piece about an Australian artist, and Brett Whiteley seemed to be the one, because his life was full of peaks and valleys and made instant theatre, and his work is so indelible and well known. And so, you know, it was a meeting at Wendy's kitchen table, and we were brought together by Lynn Clark, who's Lynn Drysdale's daughter. Drysdale's daughter. And so it went from there, and that's a couple of years ago now.
Right.
And so Wendy has been very generous and trusting, and we had to build that trust. And has given copyright to the use of his paintings, which are projected on the set.
What a wonderful backdrop.
Absolutely.
Harking back to when artists, you know, were the backdrop of theatre, in a way. Well, they still are, obviously.
They're used as benchmarks in his life. So, like Balcony 2, which is the famous harbour painting that hangs in the Art Gallery of New South Wales with the ultramarine blue. You know, there's a whole scene about that. And the paintings are represented on stage through dance and live music. And so the actors inhabit the characters of Brett and Wendy Whiteley and Brett's sister and Brett's mother and father and other characters. But the dancers supply the more abstract, the inner world of Brett Whiteley.
Wow. That sounds fantastic.
So, how is this being portrayed? Is it being performed with dance and music? How is the story being told?
Well, it's portrayed through a combination of the story is being told through a combination of dance, music, and spoken text. So it is a story. It's an arc, as I said, through six decades. A dramatic arc through six decades. A journey through six decades. And it's music, dance, and digital imagery and spoken text that combine to tell us the story.
And you were saying before it's a story of highs and lows, and as we all know, Brett and Wendy fell under the addictions to heroin and also other various drugs. And how is that approached in the play, or is that in the play?
It certainly is. You can't avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but basically, we chart the journey through his work, and so you can't avoid it, because you know, Wendy's belief was that drugs did not attribute to his work. It did not help him. Mm. So, you know, this was the beginning of the separation between them. And she got off the drugs and he didn't. Mm. And so, you know, he thought it was, heroin was a delicious mistress, but it wasn't. It was, it presented an addiction that was doomed.
And a lot of the rock stars and artists who were at the vanguard of the 60s and 70s, I guess, didn't always know that, you know, because...
Well, I think, you know, Wendy's intelligence told her that eventually that it wasn't good and made sure she got off it. I mean, she went to a place called Broadway, and it wasn't Broadway, New York. It was Broadway in a provincial town in England, and went to a clinic and got off it. And he didn't have the patience to do that. And he sort of secretly seemed to believe that drugs did help his work, and became reliant on it. But it's a tragic story in the end. But he always bounced back, even when you thought the chips were really down and it looked as though he wouldn't live another year. He would bounce back and suddenly produce some amazing work, and had the most incredible, irrepressible energy, and that endeared him to people. And he was irrepressible, and he was a showman, and that's why he makes good theatre.
So it's not necessarily just a romantic version of their life. It is the real guts and
nitty gritty.
Grit. Yeah. So do we end up, you know, today at the garden?
In the garden. Oh, and great. So this sort of Lavender Bay Sanctuary, which is where the memories of Brett and Aki, of course, died when she was 37. Mm. So Wendy had to combat two great losses. And out of grief, she started at one end and she didn't stop till she got to the other to build that garden, which is a monument in Sydney now.
Absolutely. Mm. A wonderful garden
so
to explore.
That's pretty much the last scene.
Yeah.
You know, yes.
Wonderful. Well, Kim Carpenter, thank you so much for joining us.
A pleasure.
Kim Carpenter with the Brett and Whiteley A Love Story Bound by Art, playing at the Riverside Theatre from the 18th to the 27th of January. It sounds like one not to miss.